Welcome back to the clubhouse here in the McAdoo studios. Kyle Bailey still joined by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL. And of course, follow the guys at TechSideline at TechSideline. Quickly, before we get back to recruiting, Daddy Nicholas decided that he was going to take to Twitter, to cast a shot across the bow to all coming opponents this season, saying, I came back to school last year because I was told it would be in my best interest to, a.k.a. you're not good enough to be considered first. And by that, he meant first round. Says, so I'm back to be better than last time and scarier to all quarterbacks and teams against us. As a team, I've never been part of a team that's been more special ever. We have ballers everywhere, and we are working with a chip. To all opponents, be afraid. We are better than what you will see on film, and we will not be content until it's over and we're on top. He was a vocal guy last year on the sidelines, and he's always been a pretty animated and fired up type of dude. But that is a shot across the bow to all comers. I mean, what'd you think about that?
Will actually wrote an article about Daddy in our favorite players series this week, and he retweeted the article and then responded to it, and then he started. So it's almost like that triggered him, and he spent probably 30 minutes just going off on Twitter about random things that afternoon. It was pretty funny, actually. I think Daddy Nicholas is one of the hardest working, one of the toughest players on this team. I mean, he's a legitimately tough football player. And a tough guy in general, I mean, considering his background. I mean, when we enrolled at Virginia Tech, he was like 190 pounds, and what I'd heard is, you know, he never had three square meals a day until he got to college. He just grew up in one of those backgrounds like that. So it's a credit to him, to what he's turned himself into. If he's not the vocal leader of this defense, he is at least the emotional leader. I mean, you just watch how hard he plays, and that should be everybody's goal, to play as hard as Daddy Nicholas. If everybody played as hard as Daddy Nicholas, you know, there have been talented players throughout the years everywhere that have been busts. At every program in the country, they have talented players that are busts. And if they all played as hard as Daddy Nicholas, they wouldn't be busts.
That's a good point. It's an excellent point. I love the way that guy plays. And, you know, it was Andy Bitter and I were joking on Wednesday when he stopped by that, we get one or two new watch lists announced every day, in the preseason to kind of help get us to the college football season, bridging that gap. And, I love Stuart Mandel's tweet from two or three days ago where he said, congratulations to every college football player everywhere for making a watch list, because that's what it feels like. That's what it is. But what's interesting here is that the Bronco Nagurski trophy watch list was put out, I think, earlier today, maybe. Mm-hmm. And it's awarded annually to the top defensive foot player in college football in the country. And, of course, it's just like the rest. I think there were 88 guys on the preseason Nagurski Award watch list. But what was interesting there is, not only were, you had a couple guys, Kendall Fuller was on the list, and I want to say maybe one more Tech player, but Virginia Tech's entire defensive line was on the watch list for the Bronco Nagurski Award. That in and of itself, I think, says the kind of star power that's on this defense this year. The entire defensive line's on there. Kendall Fuller's on there, and there are a handful of other guys that, that probably will be next year as well. This defense, and I think the entire team, when you start talking about Ford and Phillips and Bucky Hodges and others, I mean, it's got more star power than anything we've seen since probably the 2009-2010 teams. Yeah?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's got more swagger power, would say.
Yeah.
With guys like Daddy Nicholas and Kendall Fuller and Luther Matty. And Daddy Nicholas is getting all the hype. Most people don't realize Daddy Nicholas did not lead Virginia Tech in sacks last year.
No. It was
number four did.
Yep. Kenneth Canham.
Yep. He had 9.5, I believe, and Daddy had 9 on the dot.
And not to toot our horns here, because we get plenty of stuff wrong. I know I do. But that we said that last year before the season, is that Daddy is going to command so much attention, it's going to open things up for Kenneth Canham.
Oh, yeah.
And he took clear advantage of that.
He took clear advantage of that. And then, he's a really good player in his own part. I mean, this was a kid who was a 4-star recruit. Chose Virginia Tech over Notre Dame, had a lot of high-profile offers, and I thought he was a perfect fit for Tech's defense when he committed. So I was always really excited about him, and still am, obviously. I think he's got a really good future here and probably an NFL future ahead of him, too, in all honesty.
I'm right there with you. So with all the watch list stuff out of the way, at least until the next one's released, recruiting. All right, I know you're writing a lot about recruiting these days. I admittedly am not a recruiting guy. I get my stuff from you, from the guys at Tech Sideline, from Evan Watkins. I mean, I rely on you guys for what's happening here. So it's a slow time of year, but recruiting never really slows down. What's happening right now? Everything that I'm seeing is not necessarily overwhelmingly negative, but it's that the top 10 in the state of Virginia is largely headed out of state this year. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's about right. You saw Wayne Davis commit to Ohio State yesterday, and you know, I think there were some coaches, I think Steiny really wanted him. You know, it was a 757 recruit. I don't think Torian was as high on him. So it looks like Virginia Tech is not going to sign a single top 10 recruit in Virginia by the Sports War, TSL, slash the Saber rankings.
Even though there are some that would contend that like a Reggie Floyd or an Eric Kuma is a top 10 talent, right?
Yeah, you're right, and you can make arguments for both of those guys. And we'll have a new list come out after the season, and maybe one of those guys will jump up and be on it then. That'll be up to Chris Horn, who does the list. But let's say things stand pat right now. There are three uncommitted guys currently in the top 10, and barring some kind of a major change of heart, Tech probably won't get any of them.
Which three are those?
Patrick Rene, and I forget the other two.
Okay, so I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No problem. But the fact that I've forgotten their names means we have no chance. I think Robinson, Robbie Robinson,
yeah,
out of Phoebus, he's one of them. We don't have a shot at him.
Okay.
And then there's another defensive lineman from Northern Virginia that we don't really have a shot with. This would be the first time, and our list started coming out in 2003. It'd be the first time in that span that we didn't sign a top 10 recruit according to our list. And we haven't failed to sign a top 10 recruit by the Roanoke Times list since 1995.
So what's, repeat that again?
We haven't failed to sign a top 10 in-state recruit per the Roanoke Times list since 1995, I believe.
Doug Doughty makes that list, correct?
Yeah, Doughty makes that list. Now, I'll be honest, I haven't looked at their list for the last few years because, you know, we stopped using it as a resource on the site because there's just so many rankings these days. There's Rivals, 247, Scout, ESPN.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If Doug Doughty's listening, I hope he doesn't take personal offense to this.
Not.
It's just that when you talk about recruiting in this day and age, nobody's looking for newspapers to provide you with recruiting insight. You're not putting as much stock in those lists.
You know how he would do his rankings is he would rely heavily on college coaches, the guys that are he would call up the UVA coaches. He'd probably call up Kavanaugh at Tech and get input on all these guys. And I will say this. I did research on that 1995 top 10 group, which is the last time Tech didn't sign a top 10 player. At least seven of those guys went on to become heavy contributors in college, and five of them played in the NFL.
Right.
So he definitely got his top 10 right that year for the most part. That's okay. A lot of major contributors. Although he didn't have Dre Bly number one, he had Dre Bly number two.
I think we're all prone to a miss every once in a while, you know, but it is what it is. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I think people have finally come to, well, I shouldn't say that. Not everyone is sane and reasonable, but. You know, people have started to understand that Virginia Tech is not going to pull in annual top 10, top 15 recruiting classes, that they have largely built the program and found success by being in the 20 to 30 range every single year. That's what it is.
Yeah, and, you know, the big issue with this year's class is you know, 247's got this recruit calculator. And if you be generous and say that we're going to get every single one of our top targets from here on out, and I ran these numbers last week, and I included Wayne Davis in the Virginia Tech commit list. You can plug these guys in and see what the recruiting ranking. You can see what the what your points total will be, and then you can use it toward. You could compare it to last season's final numbers to see about where your recruiting class would rank this
year.
And if we get every single target, every single major target that we're going after, you know, like John Carlo Valentin, Landon Dickerson, Divine Diablo, which is the best name ever, by the way. You know, if we get all those guys, then I think our recruiting class would be 30th. But here's the thing: we're not going to get all those guys. You're not going to close on every single one of those guys. And I think it's a strong possibility our recruiting class could be between number 35 and 40 in the rankings this year. And I think it was 29th last year, 29th the year before. And in the Rivals rankings, it's been anywhere between 20 and number 23 for the last 4 or 5 years. And in the Rivals rankings, I think it's number 48 right now. So I don't see it. It's below Wake Forest. There's only three teams in the ACC that rank below Virginia Tech's recruiting class right now. Now, it's still early.
Yeah, of course.
Because everybody has a different number of commitments and everything like that, and that factors in. But I don't see Virginia Tech improving 28 spots or whatever to get a similar ranking.
To get
to
a
what
top 20
had,
class. Yeah.
To get even a top 25 class. I think we're looking at somewhere between – 30 and 40 in the rivals rankings as well, which would represent a significant step back compared to what we're used to.
Yeah, and before anyone goes out and jumps off a cliff or decides to, you know, let that doom and gloom the rest of their day, wins and production on the field will oftentimes play a big part in recruiting. So you go out and have a big season this year. You know, then you're talking about, you know, some late pickups, you know, some guys that might change their minds. We've seen this staff flip some kids in the last couple of years. So everything can change very quickly. That's why I just have such a hard time, because you know, with recruiting and the rankings and what happens late in cycles and all these things, it's that, you know, fans just look at it and say, oh, it's, you know, burn the thing down, start over from scratch, you know, fire this guy, fire that guy, what's going on here, move these guys around to different territories and different areas. You got to calm down a little bit.
Yeah, you got to calm down a little bit on that. To me, it's not about necessarily about star ratings. It's about, do we land enough of our plan A recruits, right? You don't want to dip into your plan B, or especially your plan C guys, very often. Do you assign enough of your plan A recruits? And, you know, even though we lost out on Josh Swed and Daryl Taylor last year, I still was pretty happy with the defensive end class, because Trevon Hill, even though a lot of people only had him as a 3-star recruit, we actually had him as a 4-star recruit.
Sure.
He was a plan A recruit for Virginia Tech. Even Hushon Gaines, maybe not plan A, but I don't think you could call him plan B either. Maybe plan A minus. So I was pretty happy with the way Virginia Tech's defensive class ended up. Now, that being said, I think they would have taken a couple more of those defensive ends. Like your Daryl Taylors and your Josh Sweat, Jalen Dalton. They were obviously plan A guys too that Virginia Tech wanted very, very badly. But they offered enough defensive ends and that they were able to get a couple of quality ones. Maybe even 3 quality ones, depending on where Darius Fullwood ends up playing. But if you get enough of your top targets, your plan A guys, the recruiting rankings will take care of themselves,
sure,
in my opinion. Because I do think the rankings in a lot of ways are a little more accurate these days than they used to be, because you have so much more evaluation opportunities for these kids. I mean, back in the day, you know, 10, 15 years ago, there were no rivals camps or anything like that. You just couldn't see these kids as much. Now I think you have more evaluation. You have more evaluations. There are no diamonds in the rough, so to speak. There are no sleepers, unless these guys maybe they can't afford to go to camps or something like that. I think from that standpoint, recruiting has changed, and Virginia Tech used to rely on getting diamonds in the rough, finding James Anderson under a rock because he never went to camp.
Right.
If James
right.
Anderson went to a camp these days, he'd have four stars next to his name, and we'd have to beat out the SEC for him because he'd go to these camps and run so well. Didn't have to do that back then.
It's true.
Yeah. So
Very true.
To me, it's all about getting your top targets, and if you do that, the rankings will take care of themselves.
There it is. Chris Coleman, Tech Sideline. Follow him on Twitter @ChrisColemanTSL. One more segment with him after this. Keep it locked. The Super Sports 101.7.